This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, D-Aliens. This is Miraz, your executive producer of the DA Show. Yeah, I'm going to say sidekick on the DA Show. And we all know the king of all work ethic. This right here, this is the best of today's DA Show. Listen up. Happy Thursday, North America. The mothership has connected. From Honolulu to Nova Scotia, from the ocean to the lakes, Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We're coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio Studios, where Kevin Wall, for some reason, has tucked in his shirt into his pants today. It's Miraz, it's Bogish. On a thirsty Thursday, is D.A. is making salmon in the smoker. Watching his young child and set to return in about 4 days. But it's an NBA Finals Game 1 kind of day. Hello, Bogey.
Shawnee, hello. It begs the question from our fearless leader. He has time for a multi-hour smoke of, I don't know, rainbow trout, lake trout, but he can't come host a radio show?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting decision. Interesting time allotment.
He does a rainbow trout the same day Mike Trout homers for the Angels last night.
Yesterday afternoon.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a fun show coming up, folks. Let's have some fun today.
We made it. We got to game one. Here we are.
We got to game one. So we're going to go in depth as much as we can and bleed every drop of blood from angles on this NBA Finals here. And tomorrow morning, of course, we will have full reaction on a Target demo Friday. Another reminder, audio only still. I believe next week we get back to seeing the Wizard of Watch DA and Cap. So on Twitter, at MirazCBS, at Andrew Bogish, let us know who you're toasting today with some booskies and what's making you happy today. We will discuss whether Pop-Tarts are back as a snack. Peter Schwartz couldn't wait to alert me that that became the new name of the Cheez-It Bowl yesterday. Has Oakland A's security given up? They may have given up before DA's given up on saving Oakland A's baseball. Is Saquon Barkley, is he holds out still, not at OTAs? Should the Giants simply just pay him already and bid against themselves? Somebody who I really respect and really smart made this case, and it makes no sense. So we will dissect that. Plus, is Matthew Slater right in calling out the NFL's BS? And Gerald Brown, how about this? Kevin Wall's thumbs are working. We got a guest that in the final hour of the show, he's waving the banner. He's all pumped up. Billy Jockalone with us as well. He's smiling and waving. Before we get started, it did remind me, Kevin Wall yesterday on Instagram, KWall51, he posts a little banter with us, a little screen grab, Bogues, on his Instagram story. It dawned on me that when DA is out, they strip down almost all DA show imaging on the local apps, and they just put that CBS Sports Radio is on, as if we don't talk with each other on the DA show regularly when DA's here.
Right.
I wonder if that's a DA call.
And this is still the DA show.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, because that's always been a pet peeve of mine in the business, when, like, somebody fills in for a regular show and they, like, try to make it their show. But it's, you're doing somebody else's show. Like, this is still the DA show.
But we're also technically not doing somebody else's show.
Right.
Like, yes, DA is not here. There are actually a lot of shows in America where, like, the lead host's name is the name of the show, and they have a cast of characters that we are. We are the characters, if you will.
Right. Like, when Dan Patrick is off, it's still the Dan Patrick show.
Right. Very odd. I found that odd when I saw Wall post that, and I did a little deep dive. I was like, yeah, they just post CBS Sports Radio.
Is that a cap problem?
I don't know. We're going to have to talk to people next week. I don't think that's right.
I have noticed that when sometimes DA posts clips of the show, he doesn't always tag us in them, which then doesn't allow us to share them as easily as we'd like to.
We might be an embarrassment. These next 4 hours might provide.
At least one of us.
Yes. At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bokish. All right. I cannot believe, or I should believe, that this is still a storyline, but maybe there is real credence to it. The Denver Nuggets chasing their first NBA title since joining the NBA. The NBA being the National Basketball Association. The questions won't stop being asked. Eric Spoelstra is now having fun with them. Will thin air be a huge difference in the NBA Finals? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
We're not even getting into any of that stuff. Our guys are in great shape. They're ready to compete. If Denver wants to tip this thing off at the top of Everest, we'll do that. This thing is going to be decided between the four lines. They also got to come back to Miami if we want to make it about that. We'll turn off the air conditioning. They got to play in 90-degree humidity. This thing is going to be decided between those four lines. And we'll decide it then.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
All right, that voice you heard, of course, is Eric Spoelstra. And you learned all you need to know about whether Eric Spoelstra is fun to hang out with. He's not. Because I think he was clearly kidding about turning off the air conditioning, but can I get a chuckle out of you after? Like, your tongue-in-cheek makes it sound so serious. We think he was kidding, right?
Well, I mean, I think he was being sarcastic. I don't think they're actually going to do it, but it was more dismissive of the idea that they're not going to be bothered by the altitude.
Yes.
So he didn't. I don't think he really meant it, but it wasn't a full-on joke.
So we need to ask, though, Bogus, in all seriousness, this is going to be the first time the Nuggets have home court advantage in an NBA Finals. I mean, let's be honest, the Nuggets have been a franchise. You know, they had that little run of Carmelo to a West Final, but they have not exactly been a star-studded franchise for years and years and years. This is clearly their best opportunity to raise a banner. So the easy answer would be, if thin air was such a big difference, why have the Nuggets not been here before and not won titles frequently whenever they're in the playoffs? But you still need talent, so it's not the end-all, be-all. But these are dem facts, if you will, as the kids say, Bogues.
Do they say that?
Yes. Joe Pompliano tweeted this yesterday. The Denver Nuggets Arena is 5,280 feet above sea level, providing a real home court advantage. The Nuggets' all-time winning percentage at home is 652. On the road, it's 350. That's the largest difference between home and away win percentages for any active franchise in NBA history. The next closest being, by a wide margin, the Utah Jazz. And then it completely plummets down to basically almost even Oklahoma City. So, I mean, and what does Utah have? A lot of mountains as well. I mean, also weird nightlife. But nonetheless, it's real. They're real and they're spectacular. The thin air has to be the reason for that. I can think of no other reason. It's not as if every team's going to get bombed at the Coors Light Brewery before the game. So the question, though, is now that you get to an NBA Finals, how big a difference does it make when you have potentially four of those games in your building?
I don't see how it doesn't play a factor, especially in these first two games. I think Eric Spoelstra said what he said yesterday to try and fighting in the face of science and history. Like, he's just trying to mentally get his guys through what's coming because they didn't have enough time to get there and really get themselves acclimated. It's a real thing. And so maybe it only applies to tonight, and maybe it only applies for a portion of tonight. But it's also another thing I'll give you is that the Nuggets have won. They've played eight home games so far this postseason. So that's eight fourth quarters. They've won six of those fourth quarters in head-to-head scoring.
Okay.
With the idea being the other team is fading. And the other team can't get to the finish line the way the Nuggets can because they're used to playing in Denver. And I think it's important for this series, depending on how close you want to put these two teams, like you're looking for kind of tiebreakers. And a tiebreaker might be the Nuggets having the lung capacity, basically, to get through four quarters of Game 1 and Game 2.
And remember, had the Celtics won, this Game 1 would have been in Boston.
Correct.
Because of that, so that's a big deal. So, I mean, just to clarify any confusion, the confusion could be, if this is such a wide gap, why have the Nuggets not been NBA champions before? I think when you combine the fact that now Jamal Murray's healthy, because remember, he hasn't been healthy at least the last couple postseason runs. In the bubble, it wasn't in Denver. The idea that they essentially have one really mega MVP best player in the league star and another very good star. I also think that if the thin air proves to be this big a difference in the NBA Finals, and these two specifically, with obviously the parts around them, Gordon, Porter, I mean, this could be the start of a little something here for Denver, because if they're constantly getting home court, constantly there, and they have that to swing their way, I mean, that's a big deal.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Your first piece of audio of the day. Nuggets head coach Michael Malone. He's got an interesting comp for the Joker.
He's not trying to be something he's not. He's not trying to create a narrative other than, I'm Nikola Jokic, I play for the Denver Nuggets, I'm going to do everything I can to help our team win, and I'm going to do it with class, I'm going to do it with professionalism, and I'm never going to make it about me. Tim Duncan was a selfless superstar, and I look at Nikola Jokic in the same vein. I think Nikola Jokic is a truly selfless superstar, where it's not about him. He's not looking for people to look at me, tell me how great I am. He's almost embarrassed by the attention. He just wants to be one of the guys in the locker room, have fun, work hard, and win.
I like that comp. I like that comp. Mike's got to be on. He is a quieter kind of reserve star. Although, let's be honest, there is a little more spunk and anger on the court than Duncan showed.
I mean, Duncan gave us nothing, which is fine. At least with Jokic, there's some jokes after games, post-game, pre-game conversations. He's got his two brothers hanging around, too.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to them this morning as well.
They scare me.
So, I mean, he's got he doesn't have a lot, but he's got more juice than Duncan did.
I think the difference is, or the comparison really, is San Antonio and Denver.
I mean, the cities line up.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just they're not, like, big-time cities where we're, you know, unless you're there seeing them every day. But I like the comp.
Yeah, because in general, it's true. I mean, that's part of why that's most of the Duncan allure, and that's where Jokic is right now, is that he's not out there stomping his feet, making an, you know, he just plays basketball and plays it really well, and they win, and maybe now they'll start adding championships, and he can get even better comparison to Duncan. Let's jump to the NFL. We have had hold on.
Speaking of Duncan, you're going to be dunking your Nuggets into some barbecue sauce.
We've had more than one conversation about Jimmy Garoppolo and that foot and the future of the Raiders quarterback position. And connected to that is Tom Brady being a part owner of said Raiders, theoretically making it easy for TB12 to become the Raiders QB if necessary. Here's Troy Aikman on that possibility.
I don't want to speak for Tom. I wouldn't rule anything out. He obviously, you know, has a relationship with the head coach. He knows the offense. He'll keep himself in great shape. I'm a big Jimmy Garoppolo fan, so I'm really pulling for him. But I would bet that just nothing's off the table as far as, you know, what may occur during the season or what Tom's role may be. I think he's done playing, but you just never know. Those things kind of just happen out of nowhere. You don't really predict them or plan for them, but I know he doesn't. I don't know, but I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about those things.
Right.
But everybody else can.
I love this. There's maybe 2% possibility of this happening, but it's got to be on the table until Jimmy Garoppolo's left foot survives a physical and he plays a game and there's no need to replace him. Now, it would be next to impossible for Brady to play as Raider owner.
Yeah.
And again, he's more investor than owner. He just gave money. He has no say over anything, which is why I guess he would have been allowed to still work for Fox. Because he's not in on meetings deciding whether they should sign Jimmy Garoppolo or not. But he's there, clearly has a relationship with Mark Davis. So if the need arose, and right, the lines of communication are already there, why wouldn't Davis just check with Tom? If he wanted to play from his current position as owner slash investor, he needed every other team to say yes to that. And you said there's like basically a $50 million cap penalty.
Yes, that's just noted.
A hurdle to make these things impossible. But no one has explained how easy it would be for Brady to become a former owner of the Raiders and therefore avoid all of that and just play.
Yes. So first of all, Bogus and I behind the scenes probably couldn't have two polar opposite feelings on the Brady returning and Raider thing. Bogues is so intrigued by it. He is so all in. And I'm so over it. I'm so over Tom Brady rumors and Tom Brady playing just stay retired. But Bogues wants it to happen. But to Bogus's point, we were discussing this pre-show. This is not a Jackie Moon Tropic Thunder situation.
Unfortunately.
Not Tropic Thunder.
What, or Roger Dorn.
What the heck's the name of the movie? Why am I for? What's not Tropic Thunder?
No.
Semi-pro.
The team the is the Tropics. Tropics. That's why.
The Flynn Tropics.
Yeah.
This is not a Jackie Moon Flynn where you can't own the team and just go play. There is a $50 million salary cap penalty, of which your team is pretty set. It would be hard to relieve yourself if you play for a team you own. That's your way of protecting against that happening. Is an enormous cap penalty. So he would have to pull back investments. But as I point out to Bogues, there's a lot of paperwork and millions of dollars involved here. This isn't your wife sending you with a receipt to return an ottoman at Kohl's because you ordered it on Amazon. I mean, this is like a lot to do. I don't think if Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, we could get the necessarily like everything done and Brady's on the field in 4 days quarterback on the Raiders.
No, but like if they knew now that Garoppolo's foot was like crumbling, could they have this figured out in time for training camp?
Yeah, but by the way, they knew Garoppolo's foot was crumbling in March, and since then they've still allowed Brady to do an investment and buy it.
I am normally not this guy, and it probably is not even the 2% chance I just gave it. But I'm going to keep this alive until there's no reason to keep it alive.
Okay. I mean, look, you dream. Dream on, dream on.
More significant, did you see where Brady was recently?
No.
So all the fancy people are like in the French Riviera for like the Cannes movie festival that happens every year. So then they all hop on crazy yachts and just sail around the Mediterranean or whatever.
Oh, that's nice.
And he was on a boat out there, apparently 30 people, including Leo DiCaprio.
Oh.
And I didn't.
Leo's
I didn't,
going back on boats after Titanic?
Well, I didn't real. I think he learned his lesson.
Oh.
Safety first. I think I didn't know that Leo had like a 5-year relationship with Giselle.
Really?
So the two of them, the one picture I saw, they're on either side of like the group shot. And I don't know if that's on purpose because they want no part of each other. It was just coincidence. You know what? That's just the way they lined up.
Wow.
But that's awkward, huh?
That's pretty Leo DiCaprio of him. Caserta loved it. Caserta loved it. Caserta, you secretly loved it too.
That was awful.
Speaking of Patriot quarterbacks I've heard enough of, Mac Jones says it's normal to work with Bill O'Brien.
It's been really good. It's been normal. I think everything he's done so far has been really good. I think the communication is the most important part, and trust. I think it all starts with that when you're with a new coach, and he's done a great job in controlling the room. I feel like everyone's on the same page. Just got to continue to do it. It's a marathon, not a sprint, so we know that. And he's obviously had great experience in the NFL and at Alabama where I was at, so there's a lot of good stuff that we've talked about, and I'm just looking forward to working with him.
The only person who seemingly this offseason has taken more bows and more hugs in return than Kevin Wall, the CBS Sports Radio, is Bill O'Brien returning to the New England Patriots as the offensive coordinator. My goodness, you would have thought the Texans went on a four-year Super Bowl run the way that Bill O'Brien treated. Now, I understand he has the relationship with Mac Jones from coaching at Alabama, and I understand that Bill O'Brien really pushed and butted heads and had no problem going at Tom Brady, you know, back to the 07 Patriots days. Like, he, you know, Brady compliments him, and, you know, Bill O'Brien was just hard-headed or thick-headed enough. But come on. I know that Joe Judge and Matt Patricia was a disaster. But, you know, Bogues, we've actually had interesting comps here around CBS Sports Radio. Just because one person is an outright disaster at their job doesn't make other mediocre people at their job great as a result.
True, but maybe this is where Bill O'Brien needs to be. Not running a team, not running the organization, just running an offense and helping Mac Jones be the best possible Mac Jones. Maybe that's why it's normal. This is the way it's supposed to be. Not asking him to do too much.
Return of the Mac.
Because you can... You can wear sweatpants as an OC. You can't wear sweatpants as a head coach.
You're right. No, you can. The joggers? Of course you can.
That was a DA nod.
Can I float something to you guys?
Please.
Is it possible that the Patriots are more unlikable now post-Tom Brady than they were with him?
No. No, I'll tell you what. It's not that they're unlikable now. It's almost like you're at... Ooh, Shawnee, know the word here. Know the word.
Come on.
You're apathetic towards them?
That's actually, I think
that's a hit.
Wow. You got that one?
855-212-4227.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value.
With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
Wow, I didn't know that. Giants had the longest preseason title odds at 50-1. Very, very interesting.
What?
They were showing the preseason title odds just now. Sorry, then we'll get to Thirsty Thursday on, like, I guess either the Nuggets or Heat are going to be up there for longest preseason title odds to win an NBA title.
Oh, okay.
And the biggest long shot to ever win a championship in the four major sports were the 2007 Giants at 50-1 preseason. Interesting. Consider that. How about that?
I thought you meant right now, and I was very confused by that.
No, preseason. All right, Kevin Wall, what do we got?
So I'm going to be toasting to my cousin Ryan.
Okay.
So last week I got a phone call. Hey, what are you doing next Friday night? I don't know. I don't have anything planned yet. You want to go see Billy Joel with me?
Oh,
I got an extra
wow.
ticket. I'm like, well, I've never seen Billy Joel before. I've always wanted to go, so heck yeah, I'm going to go. How much do you want me to pay for the ticket? I have no problem doing that. No, it's on me. Don't worry. We're going to have a good time. So
wow.
I am seeing Billy Joel tomorrow night at the Garden, and it's something I wanted to do for a very long time. It just never got the opportunity to. But my cousin Ryan coming in clutch. I will buy a beer for him, and we will toast to that. So,
yeah.
Booskies to my cousin Ryan.
That's great. Billy Joel I've seen twice. Once when I was a kid, once 2017. Hope he still got it on stage. It's been a cute few years, but, I mean, it's a great show.
My parents went in November, and my parents seen Springsteen. They've seen Bon Jovi, Elton John.
All the classics in Jersey.
They said, hands down, Billy Joel in November was the best concert they've ever attended.
I saw him in February around Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's right.
It's a very tight show. They come on. They plow through it.
Yeah, not really opening acts or anything, right?
Nope. You might get a special guest. That's a pretty common occurrence. I didn't have one, but every once in a while.
Bruce is home. I know he was in tour in Europe, but he just came home. They have a couple weeks off.
Now,
so.
let me ask you this, or Bogues, maybe. Well, you might like this. When I last went in 2017, Billy Joel played a very fun set for a good stretch where it was crowd roar for either or song.
Yeah,
did he do that bit?
There's tricks like that.
Yeah, so like five songs. Let's say it was like five. He literally did not play the five songs that didn't get chosen, but you would pick which song you wanted to hear. It was a fun game back and forth.
Yeah, I feel like he almost, this time when I saw him, he asked the band what they wanted to play. There was a you decide what's next scenario, but he's got a bunch of those things.
Yeah,
like that's the stories, the segues into songs.
Hands down, my favorite Billy Joel song. You may be right. So I assume that will be on the set list. So
wow,
once I hear that song,
Dave's World. That was the opening song to Dave's World. Fun sitcom from the 90s. All right, Billy Jocko, what are we toasting?
So yesterday we had a very loud and newsroom yesterday. So I was hoping that today would be a more quieter day. So as I parked my car this morning and I'm walking here, I'm just saying to myself, please, just no more. Let's just quiet newsroom, please. None of that today. I don't want it. No one try to leave early. Let's just do our work and just like have a good day here.
Oh,
and
no.
So far up to this point, we haven't had that. So I'm toasting to that.
Okay, toast. It's a great Billy Jocalone toast. That's a deep cut.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of Billy hitting the beep beep on his car and then mumbling to himself for three blocks.
Just please, quiet. Yeah. Please.
Silence! Greg Caserta, who are we toasting?
I went back and forth on this one. I was going to toast the Jamaican jerk truck that's normally parked outside on Thursdays. I was going to go there for lunch today.
Yeah.
Jamrock jerk. Have you been there yet?
No, because I'm not a big jerk seasoning fan.
Okay.
Another thing
so,
I don't like.
I'm going to pivot here, and I'm going to toast Noor Al-Fala, who is pregnant with Al Pacino's child.
Yes. This is our Thunder News yesterday.
She's 29. He's 83. So the fact that She let him get on top of her.
Oh, boy.
And put a baby in her.
I mean, how do you know what direction
they're in? I give her a lot of credit for doing that. There's the risk that he knocks his wig off during the act. You know, to hear him go hoo-ah in bed, that's got to be something. So props to you, Noor. 8 months pregnant, everybody getting knocked up on the DA show.
Booskies!
You know, Sean toasted her yesterday because this showed her commitment, that this is real love.
Yeah, she's not just in it for the money, she's actually doing the action.
Except for the fact that she created another person that's going to get money out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what does he care? He's going to be dead soon. Folks?
I'm going to toast... I guess it's the blanket term would be the NCAA Spring Championships, but in particular, lacrosse, which just ended.
Lax.
Softball is onto its World Series, and the baseball postseason just begins this week. Great sports, great competition, great afternoon sports viewing.
Yes,
a little ping of the bat, the metal bats, some lax, some ground balls. I'm all in. So I'm toasting to all of them for getting me for the next couple of weeks.
I always like the lacrosse championships more than the weekend. Ryan Hickey clearly liked them as well.
Yes.
Ooh, we got screwed.
Well, I didn't like the ending.
Penn State got screwed. I think I have a toast that speaks for everybody who's up at this ungodly hour, I guess a couple hours ago. I'm toasting the NBA. We had forgotten about this announcement, and we're going to finally see it in real time. We are getting an 8:30 p.m. tip instead of a 9:07 p.m. tip Eastern time on the NBA Finals. And for a sport that takes 2.5 hours to play, really not that long, but that half an hour can make an enormous difference. We talked about an 8:30 tip for the Eastern Conference Game 7. That game was over by 10:45. I was able to sleep 11 to 4 and get 5 hours sleep. I will not be a crankosaurus. That half an hour makes all the difference in the world. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about East Coast bias. Guess what? You've had your national championship games, your NBA finals, West Coast. We've done it long enough with your stupid time zone. Come conform to us. Because you know what? I got news for you. All you people on the West Coast, you know what I would love? A game starting at 5:30 p.m. as soon as I get out of work. So I never understood those complaints. Well, we don't get out of 5. Stop it. Stop. Everybody in America manages to take off for the NCAA tournament or baseball opening day. I'm sure you find a way at most jobs you could dip out a half an hour early to beat that traffic and get home for tip tonight.
This is your toast? It started very positive, and now it's veering into kind of...
I'm a negative person.
Yeah.
But I'm toasting the NBA for not conforming to the West Coast people. Give Booskies. Us an 8:30 tip. Booskies.
Booskies.
You know, you like to speak for the people, say you speak for the people. I don't always think you speak for the people, but here you're speaking for the people. Enough of this. You are absolutely right. First of all, I thought nowadays people don't work 9 to 5 anymore.
Right, exactly.
So 5:30 is not necessarily the hard, or 6:30 local time tonight. You can deal with an 8:30 tip. You can get there, and then you get to enjoy freely the end of all the games. The West Coast always wins.
Yes.
We don't even have. I remember growing up, there the Sunday finals games were a 7 o'clock tip.
Sure,
we lost those. We don't have that anymore.
And you could get together with like friends or family, or dare I say, your kids can watch.
Right.
I mean, do you know what it's like when you have to wake up anywhere between the hours of 4 and 6:30, or 3 o'clock and 6:30 in the morning? And I'm not just speaking to me. I'm talking about anybody who's up that early in the morning. Do you know what fourth quarters of some of these NBA Finals games are like? You're watching your bedroom TV snuggled under going, oh, gee, can we stop fouling here? You actually root for the games to end and not for the actual games to be fun.
Right. So you
That sucks.
On the West Coast, you get to hustle home and maybe miss the first 6 minutes. And then freely, easily, no hassle, watch the rest of the game while we're here pinning our eyes open to get to the finish line.
And not for nothing, the game's going to end tonight on the West Coast. Guess what? You can pump on your Vanderpump Rules reunion.
Exactly.
You still got plenty of time before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Oh,
good for us.
Good for us.
I'm going to be locked in tonight. The 30-minute gap.
It's huge.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch.
National title games are back doing that, or at least the football side. I love it. We're back as the East Coast. The East Coast is back, folks. We're back.
I don't know where we went, but we're back from there.
Yeah. And that is your Thirsty Thursday. A couple more tweets coming in. The Gentleman's Mop tweets in, your take on Jeff Van Gundy was so wrong. He and his clown brother shouldn't be allowed to appear in public without their faces painted.
Hmm.
Also, Jeff and Mark Jackson ruined broadcasts by whining incessantly about foul calls they think were wrong. Trash. Wow, you're watching a different game, Gentleman's Mop. I mean, own your opinion. That's fine. I completely disagree with you.
I think Stan's actually better than Jeff.
Stan was great in Game 7.
It was awesome. Now, Mark Jackson, I don't need Mark Jackson. But both Van Gundys, sign me up.
Alan tweets, and how about this? I don't even know where Alan lives. maybe Allentown. He tweets in, I'll be at Billy Joel tomorrow night. Brewskis or Booskis with a bunch of emojis. Alan, I'll tell you what. You find Kevin Wall, he will buy you five beers tomorrow night, okay?
Okay, you wish on that one.
The man was just laid off. He's got all the capital in the world.
He's got severance money.
All right?
He's double-dipping.
Dixieland Dan tweets in, and this is a heck of a picture. DA on CBS Quote is going to fire up the retweet on this one. I'd like to toast my wife. Today, we have been married for 10 years. In 10 years, we've added a six-year-old, a new home, and an army of pets. There have been ups, there have been downs, but somehow she put up with me this whole time. I shot way out of my league here. Hashtag Thirsty Thursday.
Bookies.
Now, this is perhaps one of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen. I'm even going to retweet this. Dixieland Dan, for his wedding, wore jeans.
Oh, boy.
Okay. He wore a bow tie and vest that are both printed with, like, the hunting camouflage with the white-collared shirt underneath it. And he's got unbelievable hair and, like, the same coffee ring goatee I had 9 years ago when I got married.
Yeah.
Now he's got the lot thicker beard. His wife, of course, dresses in a beautiful bridal dress. She is, of course, very pretty for Dixieland Dan, who's just, all due respect, Dan, a gross-looking human being.
Dude, he looks like John Tesh.
Yeah.
When he recorded the NBA on NBC theme.
I've retweeted that for CBS. That's a good comp.
We got to tuck in the white button down, too. Yeah. At least give me that, Dan.
This is so... I give Dan credit, too, because this is so on brand.
That's fantastic.
That he would be dressed like this for a wedding.
Like, if you asked me what Dan wore to his wedding, I'd be afraid to say this because I didn't want to, like, insult him.
Right, but this is what he wore at his wedding. And his wife actually said, well, I'm still going to be a bride here, and I'm going to wear a bridal dress. And she's beautiful. Congrats on 10 years, Dan, building a great family. The crew. Dan, on Memorial Day, did you see what he ate this weekend?
No, I think he stopped tweeting at me.
No, he didn't even tweet at me, but I guess it popped up in like whatever the Twitter algorithm is.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of family either at his house or a family member's house, and they did like the full crawfish boil.
Oh, you know what? I did see that.
That's the best. I retweeted it, and it was like they just put down the paper on the table. Yeah. It looked so good. Like, that is a great Memorial Day spread. I couldn't get enough of it. People I was with all week, I kept showing the picture. I go, you know, here we are making a freaking a couple burgers and some sausage. I go, look what they're doing down. Where is he? Mississippi? He's in Mississippi, right?
Yeah, Oxford.
Yeah.
Yes. Good for you, Dan. Enjoy.
Maybe and they turned up their crawfish boil. They got crab legs in there, too.
Yeah,
that's a lot going on right there.
Steven Saverna Park tweets, I'm toasting Sean for his ability to anger so many different groups while keeping his popularity so high. Teachers, Ranger fans, mothers, Todd's, initial guys, etc. It's truly a gift. Hashtag falling forward. Hashtag Booskies.
Thank you.
Booskies!
Thank you. On that note, I was nominated for Pulse of the People Award in New York City over on WFN in New York. The nominees, Kate Upton, Joe Douglas, GM of the Jets, Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, Brian Daboll, coach of the Giants, to name a few, and me.
Yeah, I actually think Kate Upton has backed out of said competition because she was next to you in the lineup.
So I guess I have a pulse for the people, so I hope I win. We'll let you know when voting opens up. And,
so there is voting for this, right?
I have no idea.
Like, I don't know how the whole bit works, so I'm just going to vote for you if there's a possibility to do that.
Why would you do that?
I'm the most likely candidate to win, clearly, because I have the biggest pulse of the people.
If you lose to Stu Finer, I'm going to be really irritated.
First of all, don't knock my man Stu. Stu's my guy.
Oh, he's great.
You don't like him, clearly.
No, he's great.
I've been a guest at his house. We've hung out together. That's my guy.
I only know what I see online, so I have no personal relationship.
He's as genuine as he looks online.
Okay.
That's not an act, I will tell you that.
Okay.
We could talk off air.
Yeah.
855-212-4227. Maybe too much of his heart on the sleeve. 855-212-4CBS. The last guy left standing of the star running back group, it was almost like everybody wanted to get paid at once, by the way. This is what's crazy, and it almost worked against them that they all weren't one at a time. But Saquon Barkley. The Giants running back who had a great year last year, who had a great rookie year, is 5 years into his career and has had a much injury-plagued career. And while flashed and while great and while brilliant last year, to say he hasn't lived up to the billing as a number two overall pick is an understatement. He has become the rare player in football that is both awesome and still undeserving of where he was drafted. I think that's fair, and I've watched every snap of his. Number two overall pick, you have to be, like, earth-shattering good. He has been right in that, like, he should be so far and above these other running backs good. He's not. He's very good. He's awesome. I love rooting for him. I love watching him play.
Although I think he's better than every running back you've mentioned so far.
I don't think the Giants are drastically a worse team if Austin Eckler is their running back as opposed to Saquon Barkley. And that's where the value comes in.
But they're a worse team.
I think they're still a playoff team.
And I like Austin Eckler a lot, but I think that the year last year is different if it's him, not Saquon.
Okay. Saquon also, we finally saw him healthy. He's a guy who's never healthy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he has until July 15th to sign, or I'm sorry, to come up with a long-term extension with the Giants. And the Giants, previously in season and right immediately after season, it has been reported that the Giants offered him somewhere around $14 or $15 million per year, which seems like a drastic overpay in hindsight. And then what happened was Saquon Barkley played a little hardball. Christian McCaffrey's making $16 million a year. So I think he didn't want to break it, but he wanted to get close to Christian McCaffrey, 15-5, 16. Then the running back market broke. And the Giants and their brass looked around as they signed Daniel Jones long-term and said, wait a minute, we still have the franchise tag here. Nobody's paying for running backs. Who are we bidding against right now? Who are we bidding against? We have the tag. We have the ability to tag Saquon, meaning if anybody really wants him, they got to give us some kind of pick, two picks. So the Giants tag Saquon. He's yet to agree to the agreement. Now, if he doesn't agree to a long-term deal by July 15th, he has no choice but to either play in the take or completely hold out, in which case he gets nothing. He's going to owe money back. So Boomer Esiason went on Radio New York, okay, they're the Giants radio station, and said, I hope the Giants and Saquon come to some sort of agreement. I would hate to see him in another uniform. Maybe like 4 years, $52 million, $28 million guaranteed. It's really about the guaranteed money. He's right. To come to a long-term deal, it's about the guaranteed money. But here's the problem. This year, Saquon Barkley is getting, in what will be his sixth year of his career, $10 million guaranteed on the tag. That feels like a pretty good bargain for the Giants. Next year, if the Giants were to tag him a second time, which they have the ability to do so, that number is about $23 million. Meaning, if the Giants have Saquon in year 6 and 7 of his career at a running back position, where how much longer are they really elite beyond that, the most it will cost them is $33 million, and they have the ability this year to say, well, if Saquon gets hurt again in week 4 and he's not around, well, then we're not on the hook for the $23 million next year. Right now, it's actually smart business for the Giants to tag running backs back-to-back years, and that's where the running back system is broken, because it's probably smart for the Raiders to do that with Jacobs, for the Chargers to do that with Eckler. It is smart business to go year by year, and these running backs have lost leverage. If you want to sign a long-term deal as a running back, you almost have to go the route some of these young prospects in Major League Baseball are doing, which is, I probably can make more money in 4 years if I wait. But is it worth waiting if I get hurt or something like that to do that? So the Giants have pulled back their offer because they realize they're bidding against themselves. And now there's the fear that, oh, you'd hate to see him in a uniform somewhere else. Based on what? The Giants have all the leverage. If he doesn't play in the tag, they don't have to trade him. He could sit out. The only time he plays in another uniform is when the Giants decide they're done with him. And that might be a CBA thing and a broken thing. But as former players and analysts like Boomer is, and some of these people are, I know you're speaking for your NFLPA brethren there, but it ain't good business to sign running backs long term, and it's amazing we still have to explain this.
Well, right, but I guess, so first of all, in general, I'll take any company can get on this fight, and Christian McCaffrey spoke up about running backs this week as well, because I'll die on this hill. I think the bigger problem is there's not enough elite running backs for whatever reason. There's just not as many of them as, so like there are guys, and Saquon's one of them that I would pay. The Giants need Saquon Barkley. I think the Giants without him are worse than you think they are without him. I don't think he's easily replaceable. My concern for him is his injury history.
Yeah.
Like Christian McCaffrey, same thing. That guy's a difference maker. He's one of the best football players in the league when he's healthy, but he's just not healthy enough. But he was healthy this past year, and he was damn good for San Francisco. I'd want to pay him. I'd want to draft him. We just came off the draft talking about Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs. Those are legit, talented, impactful players. But they live in a world now, where we do, where they had to be luxury picks. They had to be teams that, like, it made sense for the Eagles to take one of them. So this is not for everybody. But you can be in a position where you can pay a running back and it's not a mistake.
Well, all right. The best way I can explain this, have you ever done a Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. And I know that I'm in the vast minority here of defending them.
But how could you defend it if the proof is in the pudding?
Because
that's not how you build a champion.
But you can finish a championship build with a running back. And the Giants, you can say all you want about, well, I'll just go get somebody else. And I know it's happened, but it's not guaranteed. Like, Saquon Barkley should be on the Giants next year. They are, to me, definitively worse if he's not a Giant.
He should, because he should just be playing on the tag, and that's the CBA problem.
Sure. So here's, but there's also, as I think Boomer's trying to get to, there's a scenario where you're paying him the money that you just said you'd be comfortable doing, the back-to-back tags, and also it looks like a long-term deal, but it's really not. So you're only paying him the two tags if that's what the guaranteed money is.
His agent
What's wrong with that?
Because the Giants also have tried to get near that as well, and the agent has played hardball.
Right, now there's a point where also Barkley is wrong.
Like,
he shouldn't be paid at the exact level of Christian McCaffrey,
but
he's better than everybody else that we've talked about already today, and the Giants need him.
But he hasn't been consistently that much. He was better last year. He has not been that for 5 years. He hasn't.
I understand the risk of his injury
history. He hasn't
even
been a top five back over the last 5 years since he's been drafted.
Because he's barely played.
But that's
three
part
seasons
of it.
Playing and two hurt. Right. So, but if you're going to buy, but there's a price to keep him, and I want to keep him, and the price tag, because of the franchise tag, is somewhat obvious because that's what you work off of.
I would rather sign a receiver, a safety, or something like that and play in those parts. I mean, whoa, what year were you born?
I was born in 96.
Okay. What year did your parents get married?
94.
Okay. Kevin Wall's parents weren't even married the last time a leading rusher in the NFL won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, I know that.
But I don't need him to be the number one rusher.
Fine. But if you're going to make that guarantee, be at the top of the point is if you're going to invest that much money, guaranteed, $30 million guaranteed, around that, you better have a guy you think is going to put you over the top and win a Super Bowl. And the truth is that is the one position in the NFL where that's just not the case. Heck, the Giants had our colleague, I think the best running back they've ever had, Tiki Barber, say, see you later and retire. And the very next year when they cleared out the money, you had Ahmad Bradshaw, Brandon Jacobs, and you won two Super Bowls in the next 4 years after that.
Right, but it wasn't because Tiki was holding them back.
You know what? Maybe he wasn't holding them back, but at the same time...
And they weren't incorrectly built because they had Tiki.
No, but resources freed up, and you were proven that, you know what? This team, we had better things we could do with our assets, and it worked out. Now,
but that's
not to say they wouldn't have
won. That's not what happened. Tiki left.
He did.
So they did not. They did not redo their math or their salary cap calculations or go, we need actually a safety, not a running back.
I would argue the 2011 team and the salary cap was built, and thanks to the fact that you didn't have Tiki Barber with a big cap hit.
But were they going to get rid of Tiki if he was healthy? If he wanted to keep playing?
But you could have had dead cap at all that point. Yeah,
they weren't kicking
Tiki
to the curb.
You can hang on to a running back more than any other position longer than you should because of the way the stupid salary cap works and the guaranteed monies and the dead hits and all the stuff going around there. And the running back lifespan just doesn't... It doesn't equal the way you have to manufacture the salary cap. And it's not fair to running backs, and I think something has to change in the CBA. But it's just not good business to say they better get something done. Yeah, I'd hate to see him in another uniform. I'm a Giant fan. If I see him in another uniform, I see him in another uniform. Thank you for the time you've given me. But I know that the blueprint is there, that it's stupid to pay you a lot of guaranteed money.
But didn't you start this by saying you could pay him back-to-back franchise tags?
But I know I'm not locked in. So if they pay him the back-to-back franchise tags... And it's only for 1 year. I'm not taking on a dead cap hit at any point the rest of the time.
Which
is going to happen even if you give him the guaranteed $30 million. Let's say it's a four-year deal, Bogus.
Yeah.
And you could spread the cap hits out however you want to do it and structure it however you want to do it.
It ends up being a two-year contract.
But you will inevitably have to eat some money in years three or four. It's just the way you move these things around.
I understand, but we also have seen teams now, they just don't care anymore about that kind of stuff. That's changing as well, is that, you know, we've had multiple quarterbacks who have far bigger dead cap numbers. He can't be traded. He can't be moved.
Yeah.
And they move him because teams know how to finagle their way through dead cap space, too.
Well, sorry, Saquon. You're also playing on a team that just last year amazingly made the playoffs after being in salary cap hell. And because they have actually good players now, they also have to sign Dexter Lawrence. They're going to have to sign Kayvon Thibodeau, Andrew Thomas at some point soon. You just can't tie up that money in the position that has a less value than these other positions. You just can't.
So then your argument should be they should not even entertain signing him now.
Yes. Now that I've seen the rest of it play out.
So you don't want him on the team next year.
And yes, I've talked myself in circles. No. I want him on the team on the tag. I don't want him signing a four-year deal with this team. I think that's a mistake. And I believe, more so than anything else, what I'm forgetting right now to say. And that is something I've forgotten to say, and I'm still forgetting in real time to try to talk myself. It's not allocation of resources I was trying to say. It is, damn, I had a good point. Where did it go? Where did it go?
Did you cough it up like
no!
the slam earlier? There it is. There it is.
No, I had the point. The point was there, and it was the final card I was going to play that was inarguable, and now I lost it. You ever have that moment? Imagine happening it with a microphone on in front of you. I forgot what I was going to say.
The football gods are cursing you right now because your points are wrong. The Giants have no choice but to extend Saquon Barkley.
No.
They had no choice.
Yes.
The Giants won three games because of Saquon Barkley. The two-point conversion against Tennessee. In London against the Packers. Sliding at the one-yard line against Baltimore.
Did he help them beat Philly at any point?
The Eagles are a better team, let's be real.
Exactly.
The Eagles are a much better team.
And he has no hand in solving Jalen Hurts.
Guess what, he has a hand in? Alleviating that pass rush in Daniel Jones' face and stuff.
The Giants are not in the postseason without Saquon Barkley.
I hate to say they could have been. They could have been.
And the difference between Saquon and Tiki in the past, the Giants had an offensive line.
Newsflash.
The Giants had an offensive line when Tiki retired in 06. You were able to have Ahmad Bradshaw break out 88 yards against Buffalo. Right. You were able to give Derek Ward his 5 minutes of fame with that 200-yard game against Carolina in Week 16.
Last year the Giants played the Packers, and then Saquon Barkley gets hurt in that game. Daniel Jones carries them down the field to beat the Packers. They don't make the playoffs without that game. Saquon Barkley didn't do enough in the tie with the Commanders. That could have been enormous. Daniel Jones and Kayvon Thibodeau carried them in the game that they won versus the Commanders in Sunday football. I'm not denying that Saquon Barkley was a big part of what they did last year. I think you're overselling that the team would have been better than you think they would have been without him.
He's half your offense at the end of the day.
You know what?
He's that big of a weapon.
Right now, yeah, but that's because they invested a second-round pick in him. The point is, you could continue to build this. They just drafted a running back in the fifth round. Running backs by committees. Look what the freaking Chiefs just did with Isaiah Pacheco.
But now you're making Patrick Mahomes and Daniel Jones the same thing, and Travis Kelce is not a Giant.
Okay.
So that's not the same comparison either. And just one thing I want to point out, and maybe you have it better, but I've now read it in three different places. It's a total of $22 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, back-to-back tags. It's 10 and then it's 12.
Oh, it's even better.
It's not 10 and then 22.
So I misread this quote, so it's even better.
Right.
They should be doing that.
Exactly. And that was Boomer's point. Boomer's point was make a deal that's a little north of the back-to-back tags and done.
Boomer wanted to make it $28 million guaranteed
money. So that's too much.
That's my point.
Okay, but now if we're at $26 million, that's $2 million
Here's the problem. If you sign Saquon right now, two-year deal, $23 million guaranteed, that's it. The equivalent of the back-to-back tags. Yeah. Okay, that's not what Saquon wants or what Boomer's saying to do.
Okay.
To make that work, you need to sign 3-4. My point is, in 2 years, he could be done after this year. You can't have dead cap money tied up in a running back where every successful franchise who wins Super Bowls doesn't do that with running backs.
So there's two...
I'm tired of this. I bought a Saquon jersey once. They can't win without him. B.S. They just signed Darren Waller. Newsflash. He's going to be more important to their success this year than Saquon Barkley.
But there's two different things you're arguing here. Saquon Barkley's agent could be asking for $50 million guaranteed dollars, which would be ridiculous. But that does not disqualify the argument of Saquon Barkley should be on the Giants and should get paid something akin to $23 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. Those are two separate things.
Also, yeah, okay. Well, but here it still comes back to the one thing that I feel like I didn't hammer home enough, and you did point out. The injuries do matter, bro. You can't hand this guy a 2-3-4 year deal, even if the guarantees are a lot in the first 2 years. Like, there is a better chance Saquon Barkley misses 5 games this year than he's a Pro Bowler. Because his career trajectory tells me that's what he will do. And guess what? The Giants in those games without Saquon, now that the team's gotten a little better and they have real coaching, are going to be fine. These aren't the Joe Judge Giants where they're doomed without Saquon. And you can say all you want about the two-point conversion. Fine, Saquon had his moments. I'm not trying to dismiss him as a bad player. I believe with Brian Daboll's a good head coach, they're going to be fine. They're not doomed if Saquon misses games anymore.
So let's just, the scenario where Saquon plays this next coming season, and he's very good, right?
And then he goes back to injured Saquon in, what's that now, 2025? I'm losing track. No, 2024. So they got to, whatever they need to have.
At that point, he should be gone. He's 7 years in and he's
hurt.
You're
afraid of this dead money idea, right?
Yes, because the Giants have dealt with it too much. And if you're going to have dead money, you better have dead money on like a position that was worth it, worth taking a swing.
But dead money is dead money. It doesn't get valued differently on your salary cap. It went from what position it went to.
But see, this is getting really in the weeds. But the Giants are going to have to make significant in-house signings, more significant than Saquon, including their left tackle, of which it took them forever to get one.
Right, but when is that due?
Next year.
Next year.
Their safety, next year.
Okay.
So the point is, when you're structuring out these deals with dead money, and then eventually when that dead money comes, Kayvon Thibodeau will be one of these guys. You want to be able to...
But theoretically, Thibodeau's next deal should not be affected by Barkley's if they structure Barkley's correctly right now.
Okay, but either way, Thomas and McKinney's will... Okay. The Giants struggled forever at keeping their own. There was a long time where only Beckham and Jason Pierre-Paul got in second contracts with the Giants. They finally have drafted well. And I think a lot of these teams that have this run into this problem of running backs, this keeps happening, which is, again, why... In the end, it's too late because Saquon was already drafted. You would rather be in the spot of an Austin Eckler or an Alvin Kamara as a franchise where you feel more comfortable paying a running back because you also don't feel obligated to. The Giant fan like Kevin Wall, who, no offense, is a lot younger than me, you know, thinks Saquon Barkley is a bigger deal in the historical part of this franchise than he is and feels the need to take him because the Giants invested so much capital.
I think Kevin Wall thinks that Saquon Barkley is a really good player. And it's okay if Daniel Jones and Kayvon Thibodeau are more important, but if he's the next important, if he's the third most important Giant, then he should be around.
Saquon's half the offense.
Saquon Barkley, he's half the offense. If I had to rank Giants right now, is the seventh most important player coming into this year.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but even if that's true, that means you should pay him and keep him.
But not if he's asking for something that's... You can't pay everybody.
No. But let's stop jumping around. We're talking about the theory of paying for Saquon Barkley. We're not talking about Saquon Barkley asking for too much. He could absolutely be asking for too much, and that's on him. We're talking about the value of Saquon Barkley and keeping him on the Giants. And the value of Saquon Barkley, keeping him on the Giants, I'm comfortable with giving him a little more than what the two franchise saves to guarantee him.
I'm not, because he hasn't proven that in his career. He has not proven it. And by the way, Wall, they've now invested in back-to-back years a second-round pick and a third-round pick in receivers they expect to start and just traded for Darren Waller. If Saquon Barkley's half the offense, the Giants are in trouble this year. Giants are in trouble this year. He should be at
Saquon Barkley. They have weapons now.
Yes,
they do.
Saquon Barkley, which is exactly why he's important.
But Saquon was half the offense last year.
And they didn't draft those guys because they went... Saquon's actually not that good.
No.
The rest of that offense, so even if he's
But that
a
diminishes
third,
the value of Saquon to them even, now.
But
it does.
But if he's the third of their offense because of Waller, that's good news for everybody. And it doesn't drastically diminish his value.
It's also bad news for the Giants because they should be going more running back by committee. They drafted Gray in the fifth round.
Does it matter that the Eagles have $54 million in dead cap money right now?
It will eventually.
Okay. But they were just in the Super Bowl, and they're probably going to be the pick to win the NFC again this year,
and they've
right?
also drafted really well, and we're still making up for bad drafts from the Giants and not getting anything
out of
that.
Okay, so, again, but you can live in a world where you owe $54 million dead cap money. But you're afraid of a couple of mil of a Saquon Barkley.
Because the Giants, that was part of what got them in the hole. 855-212-4227. The summation of this is I'm right and they're wrong. When we come back...
You should call us a name, too. You usually do that as well when you don't want to talk anymore. Like, we're fat or stupid or whatever.
Bozos. Thank you. Stunned with news next. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA Show is stunned to a news.
Police in South Carolina arrested a man after he used a toy gun to rob a convenience store on Tuesday. David Joseph D'Alessandro allegedly held up a convenience store using an original Nintendo Duck Hunt game pistol. D'Alessandro, 25 years old, barged into a Quick Stop on Tuesday at about 5:45 p.m., flashed the toy gun at the cashier while demanding money. He was dressed in a wig, a mask, and a hoodie and had spray-painted the video game pistol all black, so it looked more realistic when he lifted his shirt to reveal the Duck Hunt gun jutting out of the waistband of his pants. He received $300 from the register. Deputies soon found him just down the street from the Quick Stop in the parking lot of a Dollar General and arrested him after finding the toy gun still in his pants.
He was booked into the York County Detention Center on charges of armed robbery with a deadly weapon, wearing a mask, which I guess in itself is a crime, and petty larceny of less than $2,000.
Wow, so this is interesting. You could still be charged with armed robbery even if it's a duck hunt gun.
I guess so.
I understand the robbery and the fear you're striking, but I would have thought the charges would have actually been less when you realized that nobody was actually in real danger.
I don't think it matters. I think it's the idea of you making them think it's a gun.
Really?
Yeah. So,
I mean, either way, he's trash, so that's fine.
But yeah.
I found that interesting.
This might be my favorite original Nintendo game. It makes me think of my grandfather. He loved it. He just gets so angry at it. So it's, like, nostalgic, too. So when you mentioned it, I started looking up to see, like, what you could, what would cost, like, to have the original gun. I don't have that information yet, but you can buy one new from Walmart right now for $16.
They're back in.
But what do you plug it into?
I think they sell those adapters now.
But, the, like, you to use on what? You can fire up your old NES machine?
So no, the Nintendo Switch.
But that doesn't have a thing for it.
So this is a console attachment, or is this just a replica so that you can have
no,
it?
No, it's...
Oh, that's the... Okay,
it's the gun.
It is,
yeah. And it's got the old school cable on it, but, like, how does it work?
There's got to be a Nintendo system. I'm so far away from Nintendo. I've still been a PlayStation guy. There's got to be something that we're missing.
Because we have a, we have the Switch, and they sold a gimmicky version, like a chicken shooting game, and it actually came with like a rifle. You like pump. Yeah. It's nothing like Duck Hunt. It was such a waste of time. Duck but like, I need so to know how I can use this bad boy still.
There is Nintendo Switch. Is are we missing? Is there another new Nintendo system?
No, that's it. That's and I don't one. Know where you would plug this into.
That's kind of shocking, right? That's kind of sad for Nintendo. They should have like a. It's Nintendo.
I guess they. What I mean, what are they doing these days? Are they? Still...
They made a better Switch with a better display, but they didn't make a different console.
Are they making new games for it?
Yeah.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right,
absolutely.
I'm not familiar with the Switch.
That's right. Microsoft getting involved with Xbox kind of ruined everything. Everybody fell in love with Xbox. It was Sega, it was Nintendo, and then there was Sony PlayStation. So we didn't need Xbox kind of taking Nintendo's storm here.
I never had a Nintendo, an original Nintendo. My first console was a Sega Genesis.
Man, that's the one thing about having young kids. I haven't played like Madden in 3 years, Call of Duty. I do miss it. There are days I miss it.
Dude, I still play Fortnite.
I don't know how you have the time,
I love
man.
It.
I don't have the time. Well, I guess you don't have kids, but like the kids, and then by the time I'm watching sports and, you know, the yard work, it doesn't end.
I think I cut the sports out. I think that's really where I budget my time.
I need to for work. I just don't have time. And then, you know, if you want to watch a show or something, I want to play video games again. I want to just sit there and eat 7 pounds of Fritos, drink Dr. Pepper, and pick the belly button lint out of me and wonder if I'll ever lose weight while playing Call of Duty.
But like,
I know what I'm thinking about later.
You do plenty of things where you have hours to yourself. You can't just carve out some Nintendo time.
Dude, last night I finally watched the Chicago Fire finale. It took me 5 days.
Thank God.
5 days to get through it.
See, I would just cross off Chicago Fire altogether, and that frees up a full season of
course of time. Is that an old show?
No, that's on NBC.
I love Chicago Fire. But the problem, the NBA and NHL players, I do pride myself on tracking the playoffs. By the time my kids go to bed, they don't go to bed early anymore. It's like 8:30. I'm up till 9:30. I'm usually watching whatever. Then I can't sit there and play a game if they're up and they're playing. Because, Daddy, give me the controller. Daddy, this.
But there are also days.
How much more you want for my life?
But there are days where you leave here and you get home and no one's home. You can't squeeze in a little game time then?
Not if I want to exercise.
How long do you exercise for?
Hour and a half every day. And then I have to, like, lay down for an hour, have a little lunch, and then I'm picking up my kids from daycare.
I feel like you could figure out a place or two to
Dude, you'd be surprised, man. Games. There's a lot of times I'm late to pick up my kids from daycare.
When does the late charge kick in?
I mean, it kicks in every Friday, and I go, woof. But I'm telling you, like, I don't have as much free time as you think. All right, when we come back, is Matthew Slater right on calling out the NFL and their BS? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
All right, I think that Bogus might like the results of today's poll question. The question was, will an NBA Finals that features the Nuggets cause you to buy chicken nuggets from a fast food restaurant in the next 3 weeks? 18% say yes. 81% say no. So again, my theory was nuggets. That name is going to be drilled in your head for 2 weeks, and you won't even realize you're going to get a craving for chicken nuggets. And I predict that this is why Bogus had a problem with the poll, because people can't predict the subliminal aspect of it.
Yeah.
I think that the number 81% say no will not accurately represent the truth, and the truth we may find out in 2 to 3 weeks if there's a way to judge it. Analytics team says Meraz's favorite nugget is actually the chicken McNugget, despite the fact that Wendy's has made a big push in recent memory. The analytics department also tells us Meraz does like a 8-shaped chicken tender from Burger King, and that the shape can oftentimes determine the best value taste in a nugget.
Hmm.
How about that? What's your favorite chicken nugget?
I think it's McDonald's for nostalgia, but if I'm just going straight, like, goodness, it might be Wendy's.
Hmm.
I'm a big Wendy's guy, but like,
really?
McDonald's just makes me think about being 8 years old again.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate that take. I'll tell you what I'm out on. People love the spicy nugget craze.
Mm.
I get enough like hot chicken everywhere else. I don't need spicy nuggets.
I tried the McDonald's spicy nuggets not too long ago. They were all right.
I'm not saying they're bad. I just don't get like, oh, spicy nuggets are back.
I'm with AB. Wendy's, when it comes to the nuggets,
by the way,
better.
Real quick before we toss to the fail, it dawned on me, Bogus didn't get a couple of listeners to get. When I say cracking some eggs to make a omelet, it's a Succession reference, guys.
Yeah, I'll take that heat. That's fine.
Come on.
But again, it's just you're asking us to process so many of these, and we're all good at making like speaking mistakes.
Yeah.
That just seems to be the default response, right? I missed the joke.
I mean, maybe the show's become too smart for people with me hosting.
It's possible.
All right. Now, speaking of not being too smart, I had a lot of stumbles. Oopsies today. Well, you know, oopsies out of my mouth.
Yeah, trote oopsie today.
Trote oopsie. It is where we begin. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's hour number two on the DA show here. Hour number one, if you're just tuning in, Kevin Wall and Billy Jockel.
What do we call this? Is that also a cart? Oh, good thing the stream is not live, because this is terrible.
Oh, my.
Sean has spent a good part of the last hour telling me and Caserta how good he's been with his workout routines.
Lord have mercy.
I feel like Bobby Bacala's dad in The Sopranos. Just into the tissue. It's a bad scene.
It'll get you an iron lung.
Yeah.
But you're okay now?
I think so. I got it up.
Really? I was trying to feed Raz his healthiest meal in years.
You're lucky, guys, that I didn't puke, because that's one of my least favorite, as with like
noises.
The Jody montage that makes my skin crawl.
855-212-4227.
Horrible. So, I'm sorry, America. But
hardest
we're back.
Of hats for me right now.
The hardest of hats. We're back.
Smacked by sausage and peppers.
Myself. It's not allocation of resources, I was trying to say. It is, Damn, I had a good point. Where did it go?
Oops, I did it again.
Where did it go?
Did you cough it up like
no!
And down the stretch they come.
No, I had the point. The point was there, and it was the final card I was going to play that was inarguable, and now I lost it. You ever have that moment? Imagine happening it with a microphone on.
No.
I forgot what I was going to say.
The football gods are cursing you right now because your points are wrong.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Where did
epic
it go?
Fail.
It was
What's
that,
the word?
It was that kind of day, folks. By the way, it dawned on me. Thank goodness it dawned on our listeners that with no cap, we probably don't have a Target demo meme tomorrow. But DA Show Quotes has DM'd us, I think, an awesome one.
It's a cap-worthy meme.
And put it this way, without any other contenders, it's definitely going to be used. It's cap-worthy.
But so, yeah, it's not winning by default. It's winning because it should win.
Right, that was the wrong way to put it.
And it's got the rare cap appearance as well.
Yeah.
This is well done.
Dan Fryakarowitz tweets in, I just checked off the last box of my DA Show bingo card, #Brewskis. I wonder what that is. That means people are playing bingo with me and you hosting. And I would love to know what was said recently that they checked it off.
Well, that was passed around the end of like two Fridays ago. Somebody posted a bunch of post-it notes as a bingo board.
Is that the
board.
Same one?
Maybe, hopefully.
Oh, man, I wonder what it was. Joshua Offenberger again tweets in, toasting my daughter, Anna. I'm a second-generation truck driver that grew up in the cab of my dad's rig. My daughter has ridden shotgun with me this week while my wife, the teacher, finishes her service days. Couldn't ask for a better co-pilot. How about that? That's very nice. And Josh, you know why your daughter doesn't have to do that for the next 2 months? Because your wife's a teacher and gets off. That'll wrap it up. Thank you to Kevin Wall, your executive producer today. Kevin, take a bow, pal. Good to have you back. We'll see him out in the newsroom for about 3 hours tomorrow morning. Thanks to Billy Jacalone on the Wheels of Steel, who will be back tomorrow, Billy, on a Friday. Thank you to Greg Caserta on your headlines. No thanks to Andrew Kaplan as we were audio only. Bogus, tomorrow, baby, NBA Finals Game 1. We'll recap it. Thank you. He won't turn on his mic. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
On the lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
All right, I think that Bogus might like the results of today's poll question. The question was, will an NBA Finals that features the Nuggets cause you to buy chicken nuggets from a fast food restaurant in the next 3 weeks? 18% say yes, 81% say no. So again, my theory was nuggets, 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 nuggets. That name is going to be drilled in your head for 2 weeks, and you won't even realize you're going to get a craving for chicken nuggets. And I predict that this is why Brogan had a problem with the poll, because people can't predict the subliminal aspect of it.
Yeah.
I think that the number 81% say no will not accurately represent the truth, and the truth we may find out in 2 to 3 weeks if there's a way to judge it. Analytics team says Mraz's favorite nugget is actually the Chicken McNugget, despite the fact that Wendy's has made a big push in recent memory. The analytics department also tells us Mraz does like a 8-shaped chicken tender from Burger King, and that the shape can oftentimes determine the best value taste in a nugget. How about that? What's your favorite chicken nugget?
I think it's McDonald's for nostalgia, but if I'm just going straight, like, goodness, it might be Wendy's. I'm a big Wendy's guy, but, like, really? McDonald's just makes me think about being 8 years old again.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hate that take. I'll tell you what I'm out on. People love the spicy nugget craze. I get enough, like, hot chicken everywhere else. I don't need spicy nuggets.
I tried the McDonald's spicy nuggets not too long ago. They're all right.
I'm not saying they're bad. I just don't get, like, spicy nuggets are back.
I'm with AB. Wendy's, when it comes to the nuggets,
by the way,
better.
Real quick before we toss to the fail, dawn on me, Bogus didn't get a couple of listeners to get. When I say cracking some eggs to make a tomlet, it's a Succession reference, guys.
Yeah, I'll take that heat. That's fine.
Come on.
But again, it's just, you're asking us to process so many of these, and we're all good at making, like, speaking mistakes.
Yeah.
That just seems to be the default response, right? I missed the joke.
I mean, maybe the show's become too smart for people with me hosting.
It's possible.
All right. Now, speaking of not being too smart, I had a lot of stumbles, oopsies today. Well, you know, oopsies out of my mouth.
Yeah, throat oopsie today.
A throat oopsie. It is where we began. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's hour number two on the DA show here. Hour number one, if you're just tuning in, Kevin Wall and Billy Joggle.
What do we call this? Is that also a cart? Oh, you good thing the stream is not live, because this is terrible.
Oh, my.
Sean has spent a good part of the last hour telling me and Caserta how good he's been with his workout routines.
Lord have mercy.
I feel like Bobby Bacala's dad in The Sopranos. Just into the tissue. It's a bad scene.
I get you an iron lung.
Yeah.
But you're okay now?
I think so. I got it up.
Really, I was trying to feed Raz his healthiest meal in years.
You're lucky, guys, that I didn't puke, because that's one of my least favorite, as with like noises. The Jody montage that makes my skin crawl.
855-212-4227.
Horrible. So. I'm sorry, America. But
hardest
back.
Of hats for me right now.
The hardest of hats. We're back.
Smacked by sausage and peppers.
Myself. It's not allocation of resources, I was trying to say. It is, Damn, I had a good point. Where did it go?
I did it again.
Where did it go?
Did you cough it up like
no!
Slam earlier?
And down the stretch they come.
No, I had the point. The point was there, and it was the final card I was going to play that was inarguable, and now I lost it. You ever have that moment? Imagine happening it with a microphone on.
No.
I forgot what I was going to say.
The football gods are cursing you right now because your points are wrong.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Where did
epic
it go?
Fail.
It was
What's
that
the word?
It was that kind of day, folks. By the way, it dawned on me. Thank goodness it dawned on our listeners that with no cap, we probably don't have a Target demo meme tomorrow. But DA Show Quotes has DM'd us, I think, an awesome one.
It's a cap-worthy meme.
And put it this way, without any other contenders, it's definitely going to be used. It's cap-worthy.
But yeah, it's not winning by default. It's winning because it should win.
Right, that was the wrong way to put it.
And it's got the rare cap appearance as well. Yeah. This is well done.
Dan Fryakarowitz tweets in, I just checked off the last box of my DA Show bingo card, hashtag Brewskis. I wonder what that is. That means people are playing bingo with me and you hosting. And I would love to know what was said recently that they checked it off.
Well, that was passed around the end of like two Fridays ago. Somebody posted a bunch of post-it notes as a bingo
board. Is
that
the same one?
Maybe, hopefully.
Oh, man, I wonder what it was. Joshua Offenberger again tweets in, toasting my daughter, Anna. I'm a second-generation truck driver that grew up in the cab of my dad's rig. My daughter has ridden shotgun with me this week while my wife, the teacher, finishes her service days. Couldn't ask for a better co-pilot. How about that? That's very nice. And Josh, you know why your daughter doesn't have to do that for the next 2 months? Because your wife's a teacher and gets off. That'll wrap it up. Thank you to Kevin Wall, your executive producer today. Kevin, take a bow, pal. Good to have you back. We'll see him out in the newsroom for about 3 hours tomorrow morning. Thanks to Billy Jacqueline on the Wheels of Steel, who will be back tomorrow, Billy on a Friday. Thank you to Greg Caserta on your headlines. No thanks to Andrew Kaplan as we were audio only. Bogus. Tomorrow, baby, NBA Finals Game 1. We'll recap it. Thank you. He won't turn on his mic. The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.